Did you see Donald Trump started a blog? Trevor Noah said, hold up. This dude's been saying for months that he's going to create a whole new social media platform to rival Twitter and Facebook. And he ended up making a blog. And not just that, he's called the blog From the Desk of Donald Trump. When we know for a fact he doesn't spend any time there, I mean, you might as well call it From the Juice Bar of Donald Trump. Corden, Trump's jotting down some thoughts when they come to him. So let's be honest about what this whole thing should really be called. From the bathroom of Donald J. Trump, Kimmel, Trump calls this a platform, but it's really just a website that he calls a place to speak freely and safely. There's only one problem. The site doesn't allow any replies or comments or even likes. The only person speaking freely or even at all is him, Trevor. But I get it, you know? Trump had to do something to distract from the fact that he lost his appeal to get back on Facebook. Or as he put it, we won the appeal in a landslide. Everyone knows it. So many victories. Dave Chappelle was on Joe Rogan's podcast and talked about why Chappelle decided to walk away from his $50 million paycheck at the peak of Chappelle's show success back in 2005. And then he headed back to South Africa and spent 12 years not doing TV. Chappelle recalled people saying, it was so much money, how could you do that, blah, blah, blah. If I had taken the money and finished the show, I would have gotten the money, but might have never been the same. The way people close to you react, like I failed to ruin my life, and you know, when you're cold, that phone doesn't ring that often, and I had over a decade of sitting in that choice, but I didn't languish in that experience. I started doing stand-up for much better reasons than making it. Hannah Gadsby has a new show, which is great. I think Douglas was, I can never remember, either my first, second, or third favorite thing of 2020, but Douglas was fantastic. Her new show is called Body of Work. She'll be back on stage this July. She'll premiere it in Australia. The tour starts in Canberra before heading to Albury, Newcastle, Hobart, Launceston, Darwin, Bendigo, Albany, Bunbury, Mandurah, and Perth. Boy, I kind of know a little about Australia. Those are some obscure places for even Australia, are they not? Australians, you can write me letters. Be happy to hear from you. Tweet me at DCNPod. And then the show will arrive in Melbourne in October. Then it goes to Brisbane. Time Out writes, you may notice a lack of Sydney in those tour dates. Don't stress, though, because Hannah Gadsby has something special in the works for Sydney-siders, with more to be announced soon. Body of Work is expected to tour the UK, Europe, and North America in 2022. More good news if you like George Lopez's food. George Lopez Tacos, now coming to Dallas. Yeah, I know you can't wait for this. According to the press release, the recipes for the tacos were created by George Lopez himself, including both the proteins that would be tucked into tortillas and the salsas served alongside. George Lopez Tacos will make its Dallas debut via Uber Eats and Grubhub on June 8th. George Clooney has revealed himself to be the world's biggest Brad Pitt fan. Yeah, he did that in a new comedy sketch. I just did the Conan O'Brien move again. Did you hear the yeah? Total steal from The Independent. George Clooney starred in a charity video for fundraising company Omaze, which accompanies a competition raising money for the foundation in which fans can visit George Lopez and his wife in their Italian home. In the sketch, George Clooney described how he spent quarantine sharing a room with this random guy, and the pair are now basically best friends. However, Clooney's former roommate said, "Do I recommend hanging out with George Clooney? No, I do not." He then explained that the actor had visited him to buy a Batman action figure from Craigslist when the stay-at-home orders were implemented, leaving the pair stuck quarantining together. The clip then showed George Clooney in his bedroom, which was covered in posters of Brad Pitt. He also wore a t-shirt emblazoned with Brad Pitt's face. He was then holding a pillow with Brad Pitt's face on it, saying, "Can you believe my wife wanted me to throw this away? I'm not throwing this away. No way, man. Thank you for giving me a place for me and Brad." The sketch details George Clooney's other hilarious bad habits, including spending hours in the bathroom on makeup, leaving cardboard cutouts of Brad Pitt around the house, and his insistence on watching Ocean's 11 22 times. George Clooney says, "Brad's great in it too, isn't he? Look at him. He's so good. Brad, man." From Variety, Academy Award winner Chloe Zhao is working on a futuristic sci-fi western version of Dracula. Did I fry your brain there? A futuristic sci-fi western version of Dracula. So it's not just Dracula in the West. It's not just Dracula in the future. It's in the future in the West, Dracula. Okay. And they're making a spinoff called Renfield, described as a more comedic spin on the story where the legendary vampire exists only on the edges of the narrative. That project originated from a pitch from Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman, with one of the writers from Rick and Morty and Community set to write the script. "We don't know much about it, except Jen Kirkman offered up some details." Comedian Jen Kirkman said, "We're doing this cool movie for Universal that's a focus on Renfield. It's a story about him being Dracula's henchman and how crappy a job that is. It's a fun, extremely violent comedy because I've got a crutch and it's violence. Isn't being a vampire's sidekick kind of the whole point of what we do in the shadows? No? All right. Kate McKinnon is one of the six creative leaders in comedy honored for Variety's 2021 Power of Women. Kate McKinnon said, "People are often confused when they meet me because I'm soft-spoken and pensive. I'm extraordinarily introverted." She began speaking in character voices at age 10 to relieve her social anxiety. She said, "I found it was more easy to communicate with people doing a funny voice. I found it was a way to share joy and bring a sense of fun and community in a way I had trouble doing in my own voice. I do have a personality, but I find it easier in some ways to communicate in character." Her favorite character to do is Ruth Bader Ginsburg because of the tidal wave of love and goodwill that I could feel emanating from the audience, because she is so beloved and such a force for political change in our world. It felt so good to have that energy in the studio when I conjured that person. I loved her so much. She was the closest thing to a superhero. As for Kate McKinnon's future, she says, "I have some special stuff up my sleeves. And because what I want to do is play characters, I love my weirdos and I would like to play my weirdos in different contexts, in more dramatic contexts or more narrative comedy contexts." I wonder if she's leaving SNL. I hope not. She is one of my favorites. By the way, this week on Saturday Night Live, your host, MacPacker Keegan-Michael Key, you know who's going to be all about that on Sunday evening when I watch it. I'm not staying up till 1 in the morning. Are you crazy? From The Hollywood Reporter, they have a new animated series. It's called The Prince, coming to HBO Max. This is a satirical take on Britain's royal family, with Prince William and Duchess Kate's son George as the title character. The series was supposed to show up this spring, but a few days after they teased it, Prince Philip passed away at the age of 99. According to a source, the series does not portray the husband of Queen Elizabeth in the most flattering of ways. HBO Max confirmed to The Hollywood Reporter it has delayed the debut of The Prince, saying, "We were saddened to learn of Prince Philip's passing and will adjust plans for the series debut. A new date will be announced at a later time." It's unclear if Philip's character will be redrawn, he's drawn as kind of really decrepit, or if any story changes will be made before the final product hits the air. Royal expert Robert Jobson says the depiction of the Duke of Edinburgh as an old buffoon is a little cheap and unnecessary, and at this moment in time may be out of place, but satire has been going on for centuries. He had a sense of humor about his time and obviously would have taken this with a pinch of salt. He might have even made a joke about it. He was very funny. If you like all this royal family stuff, you should check out a podcast that I'm the writer for. It's called Palace Intrigue. Every day, weekdays, we do 5 minutes or so about the royal family. And we tend to goof on Meghan and Harry, you know. You know who's wonderful? Kate Middleton. She can do no wrong. And yeah, you can hear the sarcasm in my voice. Everything Kate does is wonderful. Everything Meghan does is terrible. That's the narrative, and we like to have fun with it. It's called Palace Intrigue. You can get it wherever you get your shows. Apple, Spotify, you know the deal. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows.
Hi, I'm music journalist John Wiederhorn, host of a new podcast, Backstaged: The Devil in Metal. Join me for stories on the origins of how Satan slithered his way into metal music, and up the ante on the phrase sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Backstage: The Devil in Metal is available now. Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the part of the show where I remind you to go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News and vote for comedy's top dog this week. It's Trevor Noah taking on Conan O'Brien. You're going to go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News, find the post with the picture of those guys, and you're going to write some hilarious comments, and I'll tally up the votes. I'll catch up on that tomorrow. From the AV Club, Joel and the Bots have successfully funded a new season of Mystery Science Theater 3000. They've hit all their funding goals, including a full 12-episode season plus Halloween and Christmas specials. The MST3K Kickstarter got a massive infusion of cash in its last few days. It surpassed its 2015 Kickstarter. The new campaign raised $6.5 million. The show's going to go back to doing weekly episode releases rather than the Netflix binge model. That is a great call. I just got completely overwhelmed. Like, I can't sit there and watch 8 billion episodes of Mystery Science Theater, guys. I can't do it. Once a week, yeah, I might get into that. I'm done with the whole binge thing. I like how Apple TV does it. Here's one episode. Give me a chance. Disney Plus does it right. Then Netflix will be like, here's 29 hours of something. I don't have time, Netflix. Jonah Ray will reprise his starring role on Mystery Science Theater, which is great, but we'll also be getting two new episodes with Joel Hodgson's Joel Robinson back in the theater. That's huge. Emily Marsh, who joined the show for its live tours in 2019, will also appear in the series. Very exciting. From inews.co.uk, Jamie McDonald began to rapidly lose his sight in his teens due to a retinal disease. He has found a sixth sense. It is belly aching laughter. He's got a new series on BBC Radio 4 called Life on the Blink. And as he puts it, it's a show exclusively about a degenerative eye condition. McDonald was working as an analyst in the asset management department at a bank. He said, I mean, that's just sex on a stick right there, isn't it? And which bank? He said, the incompetent one, not the nasty one. I'm sure somebody in the UK knows what that joke means. Sounds funny. And then he signed up to do an open mic night. He was sweating as he walked to the stage, folded up his white stick, took a deep breath, and said, this isn't the toilet. McDonald said, I went into stand-up comedy not exclusively thinking I would brand myself as a blind comedian, but then I thought, what else am I going to do? If you got a disability that you can see the world through and that can make people laugh, then you got to really recognize that and use it to the best of your ability. Now that almost all his sight is gone, he says, I've got light and darkness, I've got some shapes here and there, but his lack of vision is his comedic specialism. He jokes, the blinder the better, really. I can't see a day where I miss the opportunity to get a blind gag in. I think that would just be totally odd. He has fun with other people's reactions to him. He says, I talk about a guy once. He saw me in the bushes. I was lost. Then he ran over. Then he saw the white stick and went, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I thought you were a pervert. And then he just ran off. He didn't help me or anything. It was almost like, oh, I wasn't a pervert. That's fine. Then he could go about his business. I was still in the bushes. He jokes, people said it must be harder to keep social distance, but I don't know if I'm in somebody's way. So they probably find it harder having me bearing down on them, but I'm kind of blissfully oblivious. Jamie McDonald, Life on the Blink. You'll find that on BBC Radio 4. That's your comedy news for today. You can follow this show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Make sure you follow. If you don't already, I appreciate that. If you like what I do here and you'd like to support the show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Throw $5 in the tip jar. I would appreciate that. And I'll see you tomorrow.